Florida law. Ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney. All about Ask Florida law attorney. With attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin. The law office is open. Hey, if you have a legal question, all you have to do is to dial the toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. And if you have a legal question, it can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, healthcare surrogates, living wills, can be just about any area of law. And if I can help you in any way, all you have to do is to dial that toll-free number. Every week we're here during this time period, and if you can listen to us. You can listen to us on several radio stations. You can also watch on WeBeam TV. And if you have a legal question of any type, you might be able to listen to or watch the show at a later time. 877 is the toll-free number, 943-9673. And anything I can do for you, be more than glad to help. Often many of our questions are on estate planning. They're on wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, healthcare surrogates, living wills. And if you have a question on any of those, maybe you have some confusion about what to do, how to do it, who to name in your document, any of those type questions we can I can help you with. And a lot of times, probably my most often asked question over the years is whether or not your out-of-state will is valid. And the situation is, it might be, it could very well be, but the issue is, could it be better? A lot of the wills I review are wills that are not self-proving under Florida law. So the issue is whether or not, what would happen if you have an out-of-state will that's not self-proving? Well, the issue is you have to prove the witnesses. Self-proving just means that it's signed, witnessed, and notarized in a proper way in Florida where you do not have to find the witnesses or locate the witnesses. And if you have one that's not, you might have a will that's just signed by you and two witnesses with no notary. The issue becomes then how to handle that. So you have to usually get a commissioner or a notary in another state to do a proper affidavit to get the matter handled. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney, and the law office is open. And if you have a legal question, we're going to go to Mark as our first caller this morning. Hey, Mark.
Good morning.
So what can I do for you, sir?
Yes, sir. I have a question. If you purchase a private vehicle from another party, and how do you transport the vehicle legally back to your residence without a tag or without like if you purchase on a weekend, you don't have time to register the vehicle? What is the best way or the most legal way to transport the vehicle back to your, like, say, you purchase a vehicle out of town and you bring it back to your place? Can you drive it without a tag for a while, without being pulled over? Or
no, well, you have to get a temporary tag.
How does that work specifically? Do you know?
I think you would just call the DMV and show them the transaction. You have a bill of sale, perhaps, on the car. And you would show them the bill of sale and ask for a temporary tag.
If they're not, so you can't drive it without, if you just have the proof of insurance and the title, you can't take it down the road without that. You have to, like, if the tag office isn't open, or, you know, if you just do it on the weekend when they're not there, you have to, my question is, like, how do you do it so you don't have to leave the vehicle at the other person's residence while you're, you know, trying to do that? Is there some other way to do it?
You know, I'm not sure if there is. If there is, I'm not sure. Maybe some of our other callers who maybe experienced that might have the answer. Usually, you know, a lot of times we'll tell the buyer and seller just to go down to the tag office and sign the title over and do the transaction there. Sometimes the seller will just sign the title over to you and trust that you'll take it to the tag office to get it transferred. Tag office can issue a temporary tag, you know, while you're waiting for the other one to come back. So I don't know if there's an easier, you know, the I guess you're going to move it from state to state or county to county. Where are you going to move it from?
County to county.
And the seller would not be willing to drive it to your house, for example?
No. No, it's like be like a situation where it's too far for them to go, or they're elderly or something.
The I don't know if there's an easier way to do that or not. If it is, I'm just not aware about aware of it. So usually the car, you know, usually you would take the bill of sale to the tag office, and the tag office will issue the tags and issue you a temp tag in the interim.
Yeah, or if you have a tag to transfer over from another vehicle.
You're right.
Right. Oh, okay.
So, I'm sorry. I can't help you more than that. I hope somebody calls. I like to learn as I do this show as well. I hope somebody calls and has a better answer than I did, and I always welcome that on the show. Keep listening. Maybe we'll have an interested person that would be also willing to help you. But I'm sorry I can't help you more. All right.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. And if you have a legal question of any type, you have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That makes me think of to explain how cars work in estates. Because a lot of my clients do living trust to avoid probate. There's also an automobile that's issued or in the estate. And how does that get transferred out of the deceased person's name to an interested to the beneficiary of the car? Now, a lot of times, the personal representative has the right to go to DMV, or the personal representative that's nominated has the right, even though with no probate, has the right to go to the to DMV and make a transfer of the car or get the title changed. If the personal representative sells the car, then usually it depends on whether there are other beneficiaries in the estate. And a lot of times DNV has a form giving the personal representative the power to transfer the car. And there's a DMV form, power of attorney form, that's used and still in lieu of probate. If there is a probate of the car, If there is a personal representative appointed in the estate by the court, then that personal representative, of course, has the legal authority to transfer the car. Hey, you're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. And if you have a legal question, all you have to do is to dial the toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. You have a toll-free number? You're listening to Ask an Attorney. It's June 26, 2021. And you're listening on multiple stations or broadcasting today from Tampa. You're listening on 570, 910, 860, 930. You're listening on multiple stations in Florida. You're listening on 96.3 FM coming out of Sun City Center, local community station. You're also listening to 100.1 Grace FM in Sun City Center. You're also 90.3 FM out of Haines City, 600 AM The Answer out of Jacksonville, WTAN in Clearwater. You're listening to multiple stations around Florida. A lot of those stations have FM or AM components, and you can listen to whichever you get the better signal on, I would say. Also, we're broadcasting today live on WeBeam TV, which is also being posted on Facebook Live. So we have a lot of video going on today as well as audio. If you'd like to call the show, you have a toll-free number. Toll-free number is 877-943-9673. Again, you're listening to a live show, June 26th, 8:11 in the morning, 2021. And if you have a legal question, I'd love to talk to you. If you want to give me a little help on that first question with a better answer, hey, I'd love to hear that as well. And You know, I can't prepare for these shows because I never know what you're going to ask me. But we've hosted the show for 37 years now, longest running continual program in Florida. So there's not too much I haven't been asked along the way. And I've either researched the answer or have given out an answer like that many, many times. So I really would like to help you if I can. And you don't even have to have a legal question. It can just be a problem you're going through. And if I can help, all you have to do is to dial the toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open right now. The question we get a lot of times is, what about, why do wills have to go through probate? I continue to get that question. I have a will, paid an attorney to do a will. Parent died, brother, sister died. And there's an asset that's just in their name. The will leaves it to me. Why does it have to go through probate? Well, because nobody knows if that's the last will. Could have had a later will leaving it to someone else. You have to prove. Probate is a Latin word, or from a Latin word meaning to prove. You have to prove that's the last will. You have to get the court to appoint you as the personal representative to handle the assets in the deceased person's name. Probate is very expensive, takes a long time. You can easily avoid that through a living trust or some other plan you might have. Be glad to discuss all of those trusts and other plans. If you have questions about those, give us a call. Let's go to Paul in New Castleman.
Hey, yes, I'm calling about a ladybird deed.
Okay.
I'm a Pennsylvania resident. My wife's a Florida resident. We own a house in Florida. I have five siblings, and I need to know if I should put that in a ladybird deed that stopped from avoid probate or what?
Well, a ladybird deed is definitely an option to avoid probate. Ladybird deed is a deed usually where you would deed it from you to yourself with a life estate and name a remainder of beneficiaries. I think a better way generally to avoid probate is a living trust. And what a living trust would do, you'd create a trust, transfer the deed to the trust. And then if you became incapacitated, your successor trustee could manage the property, even sell the property for your benefit, and name beneficiaries in the trust upon death. If one of the beneficiaries had died, there'd be additional language in the trust where it could go to the other four or to their children. So a living trust, is, in my opinion, is better than a ladybird deed because it deals with helping you while you're living if incapacitated and has beneficiaries and contingent beneficiaries upon death. But both ways would avoid probate.
Is that a costly thing?
No, is a living trust a costly thing?
Versus a ladybird deed.
Well, okay, so the living, are you single or married?
I'm married.
We do a joint living trust package, which includes a trust, the deed, two wills, two power of attorney, health care surrogates, living wills. The fee is $895.
I see.
If you don't have a trust, you're going to have some probate of other assets. Is the deed you're talking about your homestead?
I have property in Pennsylvania and Florida both.
All right, and you're a resident of?
I'm a resident of Pennsylvania. My wife's a resident of Florida.
And where are you calling from today?
I'm calling from Newcastle, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, okay. Well, very good. You're listening on the computer?
Yes.
Okay.
Every day. Right. Every day.
Well, great. Well, great. Thanks so much for listening to. What station are you listening to?
90.3.
Okay. All right. So what's your question again? I got sidetracked.
Well, my question is it advisable to do a ladybird deed? I have five siblings. Oh. I have a will, and I don't know whether.
All right. Well, I have a lot of clients who one is a resident in one state, and one's a resident in the other, and you can still do it. You own most all of your assets jointly.
Yes, everything.
Yeah. So you can do a joint trust. I mean, you could put deeds, both of your deeds into a joint trust to avoid probate in both states. You can, if you did just, if you came in and did poverty, you and your wife might be, have different power attorneys in different states and so forth, but you can have two of those. You can have one in each state, particularly if you spend time in the states. I think the cost is, if you add everything up, I think the cost is probably about the same. If you just did, if you just retained me to do a ladybird deed, for example, the fee would be $250 just to do a ladybird deed.
Uh-huh.
So if you wanted to do the other documents, you'd easily get up to, over $895. If you just did wills, power of attorneys, healthcare surrogates, living wills, or any of those, most of those documents cost like $150 each. The $895 on the trust is a package price that's designed to be, you get everything done that you need at once, and it's a lot less than adding up the individual prices for all the other items we do.
Okay, that's pretty much answers my question.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go to Ron in Sun City Center.
Hello.
Hey, Ron.
Yeah, I had heard someplace that if you buy a car, that you should put the car in your wife's name. What about if you're leasing? Does it make sense to put it in one person's name, or should you put it in both persons' names?
Well, I wouldn't say normally I would give everybody advice to put the car in your wife's name. My advice generally is to put the car in the primary driver's name. Because if the primary driver is driving and has an accident, they can only sue the primary driver and cannot get to assets owned jointly between husband and wife.
Okay.
So in your example, who's the primary driver?
My wife.
Well, in this case, then it would probably be better to have it just in her name. And then if you own assets jointly, if you own your home, of course the homestead's a protected asset, but if you own bank accounts and brokerage accounts and other assets jointly and they can only sue her as a husband and wife, they can't get to the assets of both.
Okay. And same thing with a lease?
Yeah. If she's the primary driver, I'd put the car in her name as a leaseholder, yes.
Oh. Okay. I got it.
All right.
I wasn't sure why.
All right, well, now you know.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, let's go to Don in Sarasota.
Hi.
Hey, Don.
Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. What can I do for you?
This is a probate call.
Okay.
Regarding automobiles.
Yes.
My wife and myself own the vehicles jointly. We're both residents of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Upon the death of either one of us, do any of these vehicles have to go through probate?
No, if you own something, if you own an automobile jointly, husband and wife, and one of you die, it automatically goes to the other.
Okay.
Upon the second death, you both die. Upon the second death, the personal representative of your will can probably deal with the car without probate. Do you have children?
Yes.
You've named one of them as a personal representative?
Not my wife. Is.
Yeah, but do you have a backup to your wife?
I have a backup. My daughter is.
Yeah. She should be able to deal with the vehicles without probate.
Okay.
Sometimes the problem is there's money still owed on the vehicle and nobody has the title to be able to transfer until the title is paid off.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes when there's money owed on the car, you have to do a personal representative be appointed to deal with all that, deal with selling the car, having money in escrow to pay for the car, particularly if they don't have money to pay off the car themselves. So there could be a few issues with that, but generally a car doesn't go through probate.
Thank you for the response.
All right, thank you. All right, let's go to PJ in Davenport.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. My question is, I had signed a contract to have one of these 24-hour showers installed, replacing a tub. And the salesman said it would be 6 to 8 weeks. Well, I signed the contract on March 1st. After 8 weeks, I called and said, you know, what's going on? And, well, the reason why we went with this company is, number one, they said they had to get a permit, which we wanted. And number two, they had all their own craftsmen that did all the installation. They didn't subcontract the work. Well, then after the 8 weeks, I called to say, you know, okay, it's been 8 weeks. What's going on? And they said, oh, we're having trouble getting a permit for you. And they said, you know, give us a little bit more time. Well, gave them a couple more weeks and called, and they said, yeah, we can't get anybody who wants to do the job in your area to go and apply for the permit. And I said, well, wait a minute. We were told you have your own salesman, and he said, or your own installers. And they said, well, yes, we do, but it has to be somebody that, you know, can do the work and get the permit. Well, then we found out, yes, they did get the permit May 6th. We went to the city to check. Okay, May was beyond the 8 weeks. And now we were given one date for installation, and now they canceled that date. Even though this was made to fit my area, can I cancel this deal without losing my deposit?
Well, under the facts you've given me, I would say you would have a good chance to cancel and demand the full refund.
Mm-hmm.
How much money is at stake?
Well, the whole deal is $10,000. We only gave them, they only asked for 1,100 gallons.
I'd write, what I do is write a certified letter demanding the money back and to kind of outline what you told me in paper.
Okay.
And tell them you demand your money back and or thereby canceling the contract. And you're canceling it because of their false promises and misleading statements, misleading and untrue statements, and demand the money back. And put them
Number one,
what
kind of told them that, they said, well, the salesman had no right to tell you that. Well, that's your salesman.
Well, I would put that in the letter that you were told that. That you were told that. I would make that part of the letter. That was part of the motivation for you to do the contract to begin with, is what the salesman told you.
Okay.
And
you
put in there, they have acknowledged that the salesman told you that, but maybe he shouldn't have, but they acknowledged that if that was part of the deal, and just put that in the letter also.
Okay. I have another question for you. Do you deal with special needs trust in trusts, like living trusts?
Yes, ma'am. I have a fair amount of clients who have special needs children, and once I learned that, then there's a special needs provision put into the trust document, so the person can have money applied for their benefit, but not in a way that would disrupt any government benefits.
Okay, now my documents are all done in Michigan. Do I need them redone now that I'm a resident of Florida?
Do they have a special needs trust? Do they have special needs trust language in your documents now?
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Is the child in Michigan?
Yes, the child is still in Michigan,
Yeah, generally when one person moves from one state to another, we can review their documents. There's no fee for the review. And then we can modify them to say you're a resident of Florida. And we could probably keep the same provisions in your document concerning the special needs provisions for your child in Michigan. So, yeah, we can do all of that for you.
Very good. Very, very informative morning, then. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you are listening and you have a question or you have a problem or something I can help you with, hey, we have open lines right now at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. If I can help you in any way with a question or a problem, you're listening to a live show this June 26th. Hey, half the year is all gone already. June 26th, 2021. It's 8:26 in the morning, and I am here to help you. You have a toll-free number if you want to call the show. Lines are open right now at 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Call us if I can help. Why worry about something? People, I do a 6 o'clock show on Sunday morning, and I do an 8 o'clock show here, and people often ask me, well, who's going to call a show, a live call-in show, that early on either morning? And my answer is someone who's been up all night worried about some legal issue. So why worry? Why not try to talk to someone that can maybe get you pointed in the right direction and maybe give you some help or peace of mind? It's all about peace of mind, isn't it, sometimes? Just having more information to help you consider what to do next. 877-943-9673 is an open line. So that was a good, that was one of my most often asked questions. I have a will or a trust in another state to move to Florida. What should I do? You know, I've seen trust. I've seen trust in the last few weeks, particularly out west, like Nevada or California. And the trusts were signed by the person, and they were notarized. But they weren't witnessed. Now, what kind of problem can that be for you now, a Florida resident? Well, so you come to me, and let's say you have a California trust, and you come to me. First of all, California is a community property state. Florida's a common law state, so there are major differences there in the way you do documents and what the spousal rights and all of that is. So generally, if you have a trust that's not witnessed, just signed and notarized, then you can't put a Florida deed into that trust to avoid probate. Because the trust has to be witnessed and signed with the same requirements that the deed has. And the deed has a requirement that the deed be signed and witnessed by two people and notarized. So with a trust without witnesses, you can't really put a valid deed into that trust. Or if that's happened in your case, you probably have an invalid deed there. Let's go to Charlene in Tampa.
Hi.
Good morning.
I live in a manufactured home. I purchased it about 6 years ago. I agreed to pay the closing in installments to the owner. The owner put his name, put a lien on the deed. I satisfied that about 4 years ago. And when I requested that the owner remove himself from the lien, he ghosted me. So now his name is on the title. My roof is leaking. Like, when it rains in my living room. I got the insurance company to agree to cover the cost of the roof, of getting a new roof. They sent me a check with the previous owner's name on it and mine. Nobody's going to cash a check like that. I can't find the owner. What do I do?
So his name is still on the title?
Yes.
And he's disappeared?
Correct.
Well, number one, you can hire a private detective to try to find him. If that's not going to work, you could do a petition to quiet the title. Hire an attorney to do a petition to quiet the title, to get his name off the title and prove that you've paid off the lien.
Okay.
So I'd say it's one of those two things.
Okay. I have changed banks 3 or 4 times since I've been in Florida. I don't recall which bank that I was paying that was writing the checks off of. And I don't know how to go and trace that back. Would the attorney help me with that?
Well, perhaps. I mean, I'm not sure how you determine. Yeah. So, you know, 4 years ago, you don't know what bank you were using to pay off the money?
I've changed banks a couple of times. And if I were to go to the banks, would they be able to retrace my records from 3 or 4 years
ago?
Well,
they might be able to. I would go ask.
Okay.
I would go ask for sure. Because the proof of the payoff is going to be necessary to, if you're going to proceed in court to try to prove the lien's not valid.
So it's a is going to cost me almost as much to prove that the lien's not valid as to put a new roof on my house by myself.
Maybe not. I don't know. How much does it cost to put a new roof on?
About $10,000.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be that much. But I think my first step would probably be talk to a private detective and see what they would charge you to do a little search for the person. If mm-hmm. the person, you know, is on social media, he might be real easy to find. Once you give the name of the person, I mean, they search death records and so forth to see if they've died. Mm-hmm. So a private detective might be the first easier step to try to locate the person.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm sorry for your troubles, right. Charlene.
Thanks so much. Bye.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Let's go to Henry calling.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Henry. How are you? From Orlando.
Yes. I might be well, yeah. You know, I have a made-up will, you know, that you get the documentation, and then you get it notarized, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I got one son. Now, I want to leave everything to him. Now, I want to know how to skip over that,
will? The probate?
Yeah, I got the will. But I want to know how to get to probate.
So how to skip probate.
Probate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, so you own a home. Is that a single-family home, a manufactured home? What kind of home is it?
A single-family home.
And you have bank accounts and brokerage accounts?
Yes,
and...
yes, I do.
And how are those bank accounts titled? Just your name?
No, both of my names are there.
Okay, so does it say father or son?
No, it says father and son. That's what it says.
Father and son.
Right.
Well,
I put the or in there. I know the technicality. I think the or is in there.
Okay. Well, okay. So the problem with putting your son's let's do what the problem is first. The problem is putting your son's name on an account or makes him 100% owner, makes you 100% owner. So if your son gets sued, divorced, has an accident, then his creditors can file a claim against that account. And if they have a judgment or that's an asset.
Mm-hmm.
So my advice generally is never put your children's name on any accounts.
Okay.
Because why have to worry about their liabilities?
So how do you leave the money then?
If you want to avoid probate, which is your original question, you can create a living trust.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the package when I do a trust for a person is to do a quitclaim deed.
Okay.
You put the quitclaim deed, that puts it into the trust.
Right.
And you put your bank accounts, take his name off, put your bank accounts in the trust, leave everything to him, living assets in a living trust, avoid probate.
Right. Okay, do you have a telephone number for your office where I can contact you?
Yeah, you live in Orlando?
Yes.
So we have an office in Davenport. Do you know where that is?
No. I have to let my son run everything for me because I'm up in age. But if you got the telephone number...
Well, okay, my office number. I'll give you my office number. Can you write it down now?
Yes. Go slow now.
800.
800. Got it.
226.
226. Got it.
3529.
Let me repeat that. 800-226... 3529, that correct?
Yes, sir. Go to extension 200. And what I would do first, Henry, is just to request a phone appointment.
Right.
And during that phone appointment, I can take information, send you a draft, and then we get started, and then we go from there.
Okay, that sounds good. All right. Listen, spell your name for me.
Joe, J-O-E. Last name is P.
J-O-E, go ahead.
P-I-P-P. E-N.
P-I-P-P.
E-N.
A P-N? Okay, P-N.
Okay.
All right, pronounce it again.
Joe Pippin.
Okay, Pippin. All right, then that sounds good.
All right.
Because what I want to do, I don't want to make the mistake that it costs him money when we have less money. You understand?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, sir.
Now, if you give me the senior citizen a discount, because I'm 85 years old, all right, but I'm doing good. If you give me the senior citizen discount, maybe I can let you do a whole new will for me. How's that sound?
All right. Well, you give me a call, and we'll discuss that.
All right. Thank you very much,
all right,
sir.
Thank
bye-bye.
You. All right. Bye-bye. Let's go to Jack in Jacksonville.
Hey, Hey, Joe. I got a property up in Georgia. I currently live, of course, in Florida. And I have an LLC established in Georgia. And I am wanting to create a trust here in Florida and roll that property into that. Is that possible? And is that a good replacement for it?
Yes, sir. You can put property in a living. I create a trust. You can put property in the, and not me. I mean, any Florida attorney can create a trust that will hold property both in Florida and Georgia.
Okay, so we could roll that in. And does it give me some protections against liability like an LLC?
No, but if you put the property in the LLC, that's your asset protection, and then the LLC can be assigned to the trust to avoid probate. You have a double protection there. You have the LLC protecting it from lawsuits, or you from lawsuits other than the property itself, and the trust overall to protect against going through probate on all the rest of the estate.
Yeah, I just thought maybe because I'm carrying home insurance on it, and, you know, I was
no,
trying
actually,
to avoid
we,
having to...
Yeah, we do a trust to the deed. We do a deed into the trust, and that's not recorded. So really, it's recorded by your successor trustee when they need to take action on it, when you die or become incapacitated, and then they record it then, and then they have power. So it's in the trust, but not a public record initially.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, and when do you, if I wanted to set up a meeting with you in Jacksonville, when are you in Jacksonville?
I'm there every other week. I'm seeing Jacksonville clients this coming Friday. So if you want to call and get on my calendar this Friday, I'd be glad to see you.
Okay, and it's on your website?
I'll just give you the number, same number I gave the last gentleman, 800-226-3529.
All right. Sounds good. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Jack. Let's go to Catherine in Jacksonville.
Hi. I have two questions. My first question is, my son's father passed away. He left a holographic will that he leaves his entire estate to my son. We were not married. And he specifically said, I want my full 401k to be paid directly to my son and not my estate. So I wind up getting an attorney who did a really bad job. And so it went into probate, and then it went into a guardianship. And in the guardianship, a fiduciary was appointed. This fiduciary didn't tell the judge, and the judge didn't seem to care in California. This fiduciary took my son's money out of a 401k, out of the 401k, and made it part of the estate when it was already its own entity, and it was in fidelity of count named for my son. And so,
now, how old is your son?
My son now is 17 and a half, and he's going to be, this happened when my son was about, his father passed away when he was about 7 years old. And so, and this fiduciary has used all of my son's money. My son has a huge estate.
Is this in California?
So now, yes, in California. So my son, we moved to Florida. And so my son has been in school in Florida, graduated from high school and in FSPJ college. And he's been in Florida for about 8 years. And we had asked the fiduciary, and we tried to make him transfer the assets, the estate, to Florida. He refused to do so. And even though my son's father and my son has assets in Florida, he made the argument that, oh, no, it's an LLC. Yes, an LLC, but it's actually a physical property, too. And so this fiduciary did a lot of bad things in my son's estate, and my son is about to be 18. And what, 7 months from now, going to be 18? And this guy has sold my son's house to one of his friends. My son had a house in Santa Monica, and the house was worth $1.8 million.
Hey, Catherine, Catherine, I can't give you too much more time here. So do you have a question? Just a general question,
yeah.
You can ask. I got the general fact pattern here. So,
my question is, my son is about to turn 18. What do we do? How do we file? Are you able to help or assist us with filing a lawsuit against this fiduciary?
Well, no, because it's in California, so you're going to need a California attorney.
Question then, if my son been living and going to school in Florida, doesn't Florida have jurisdiction?
All right, well, it's one of the famous legal answer, it depends. So first of all, when you have a will, and let's assume the will is valid, it was a handwritten will, right, leaving everything to the son. So let's assume that's a valid will, for just for the moment. You can't put directions in a will that your retirement account, I mean, you can say your retirement account goes to your son, but the proper way to have done that would be to name the son as a beneficiary on the actual retirement account. Because if the actual retirement account doesn't have a beneficiary, then it's part of the estate, and then the will controls where it goes, but everything's going to the son anyway. But the other problem is the son is a minor. If the son's a minor, he can't receive money unless a guardian's appointed. So just to clear up some of the early statements you said about the whole matter, but there again, it's a California matter. I'm not licensed in California. I can't do lawsuits in California. Can't really advise you about California law. So the answer really is you need a California attorney to help you with this.
Now, he did name my son. He put my son's name in his will.
Yeah, that's fine, but he's a minor, and a minor can't really receive assets, so a guardian has to be appointed.
Okay, and then in the guardianship case, the judge, basically, in the probate case, the judge said it belongs to the minor. So that's
well, it does, but you can't really give it to him as a minor. Hey, Catherine, if you'd like to call me off the air, I'd be glad to talk to you further, but that's about all I can do to help you right now, so...
Okay. Right. I have one other question.
No, Catherine, Catherine, call me, please. I'll put you on hold to have the producer give you my number. Let's go to Kelly in St. Pete.
Hi, good day. I don't know if this is up your lane, but I've been in a program. I'm a single mom to help me get a home. It's been a year now. We've been building a home, going through the homeowners classes. And just as today, this week, I've gone to the disclosure and found out the price of the home being $215,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's out of my budget. I bring home less than $900. It would have me paying over $900 a month, and with taxes and the mortgage, and the rest of my other bills take about that much. Would you advise that I decline this offer after the house has already been built? I feel slightly ambushed to find out this. I thought it was like an assistance program or like a prorated home, but now it seems that they are getting appraisals based off homes that have been sold here in St. Petersburg, not by the same market.
Well, they're gonna give you the home.
It doesn't seem as if.
Well, I mean, that's what you originally thought.
No, I thought it'd be prorated.
And
you know,
so you don't live there now. You don't live there now.
No. They want me to they want to dedicate the home to me the 13th of July, and I just had my disclosure this week, and I never imagined having a competitive house rate. The houses in St. Petersburg, they're very expensive, but me being on this program a whole year, I expected maybe $160,000.
What does dedicate to you mean? I don't understand what that means.
It's a special program. They show the community has...
All right, but they're not giving it to you. They're dedicating it to you and expecting you to pay the full load of all the expenses?
Yes, but, you know, it was built off of community hands. The community built it. It's small. I have two children.
Okay. But how much they want to sell it to you?
It's in a bad neighborhood. Okay. You know, so,
They're going to sell it to you for the current market price, though?
Yes. They've gotten appraisals by other homes. And you know, the economy right now, I would never buy a home if I... During this time right now, they are skyrocketing. I didn't think that we fell under that umbrella.
If you could pay full price for the home and write them a check, who would the check be made payable to?
Habitat for Humanity.
Okay. So basically, if you're buying the home for full market price and can't afford it, then definitely I would tell them, no, you can't afford it, so you're not going to proceed.
Okay. That's what I'm going to do. Okay, all right. Well, thank you.
Now, on the other hand, if they're going to give you, if the house is worth $400 and they're selling it to you for $200, I'd probably take it and then sell it and keep the proceeds if you could, unless there's some restrictions on the sale or something. But
From the others, it's not worth that. It has not, no.
Yeah, if they're selling it to you for market price, then that's not a deal for you, and you can't afford it. Yes. I wouldn't do it. So
That's the right verbiage, just at market price that I wasn't expecting. Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. Let's go to Mary in St. Petersburg.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Mary.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I bought a mobile home, and the title company says I need to sign a power of attorney so they can go to the recovery office to get the deed in my name. And that's the only way they can do it. They can't do any other way. Is that how they do it?
Well, give them a restrictive power of attorney just to do that one thing for you. It doesn't have to be a very broad power of attorney where they have power to do anything else. Just give them the power to do what they request.
And on the paper, it'll say just...
Yeah, the power of attorney, you grant so-and-so the power of attorney to, and just what you just told me, you put them, they only have the power to do that.
Oh, okay.
All right.
All right. Yeah, thank you.
Let's go to Chris in Tampa.
Hi, Jeff. How you doing?
Doing great, Chris.
I've never needed you before. I've only had to mute the phone number for the radio show before, but now I might need your office number. 10 days ago, I didn't expect to get on.
Well, we got a minute, though, so you're going to have to ask me a question pretty quick.
10 days ago, my mother fell back in her chair, passed out, hit her head pretty hard. Took her to a certain hospital in Lutz, Florida, and they diagnosed her with urinary tract infection and nausea and kicked her out. And about four and a half hours later, she was walking around just totally collapsed and passed out again and crumbled to the ground. And took her to the hospital. Had her taken to the hospital again after it happened again. She didn't want to go to the hospital that time, but it happened again. She collapsed again a couple hours later. Took her to the hospital again. Anyway, she was diagnosed a few days ago. We found out that after they kicked her out the first time, well, I don't know if it's related. I can't pinpoint the time, but she was diagnosed with a major stroke. And I'm just concerned about that first time where she was at the hospital 10 days ago where they...
Chris, I can give you the name of a medical malpractice attorney to discuss the case with. Is she well now?
I'm sorry?
Is she well now?
No, she's comatose.
Very sorry. Yeah, I can give you the name of a medical malpractice attorney to discuss your case with you if you have one, and they'll let you know. If they take the case, then you have a case. If they don't take it, then they probably didn't think they could prove the case, but if you want to contact my office, I'll be glad to give you an attorney to try to help you sort through this.
That's why I'm calling you.
All right, thanks. All right, so the number for anyone to call our office if you have further questions or want to make an appointment is 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. Thank you for listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. We're here every week during this time just to help you. I hope you have a great week. So long.